97.1 QMG, the best R&B and old school. Good Saturday morning. Before we get started with Saturday's edition of Community Focus, I certainly want to thank Joseph Lovell for Saturday's edition of Today's Praise. Always a good way to start off the morning. And right now, we do officially transition into our public affairs show. Want to welcome everyone. If you're a regular listener, you know you are always welcome. And certainly want to say good morning and welcome to those of you who may be tuning into the program for the very first time. Either way, you're considered family here on 97.1 QMG. This is the public affairs show. We get the word out and let you know what's happening in our communities. I'm Renee Vaughn. I want to welcome back and actually say Happy New Year to you, Mr. Algernon Cash of Wharton Gladden Company.
Happy LLC. New Year. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, I was just writing a note. I just thought of something. This is our 1 year anniversary.
This really is.
It is. Well, yeah. One year ago, the first Saturday in January. That's right. You and I started doing this together. So.
Wow, you have a darn good memory, Algernon.
Yeah, well, it's been good.
It has been good.
I'm looking forward to 2009. My motto is I'm changing lives in 2009. That's what I'm doing.
I like that. Well, we certainly want to get people's minds changed. We definitely want to get them up and we want to get them motivated.
That's right.
For today's program. And I thought, Algernon, today's topic was just so timely. We are into just the 10th day of a new year.
That's right.
And we are just officially now 10 days away from the inauguration of President-elect Barack Obama. Well, he's officially president now because both the House and Congress
have
voted him in. So we're getting closer to removing that elect portion of it. But I thought that the topic for our show today was so timely. Keys to unlocking success in 2009.
Right.
And I wanted to focus really on that word, Algernon, because obviously, for any of us who have turned on a television, we've opened a newspaper, we've listened to the radio, especially for this program, all we've been hearing is doom and gloom from both an economic, financial, mortgage side. I mean, you name it. So it's good to have a program to where we can have some good news.
That's right. Let's talk about some positive things for once.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's start by talking about the events of 2008, of course, the center of discussion for decades to come. And it was indeed a year full of surprises. The world economy entering one of the worst fights with recession in almost 100 years. Companies battling a global liquidity crisis. U.S. citizens, of course, electing our first African-American to the White House. And really an opportunity, I think, on this show, Algernon, now that we have gotten started, to learn the lessons of life that will unlock the doors that indeed will lead to the successful outcomes.
That's right.
That a lot of us really do need in this new year. Let's go ahead and just get started. Certainly open up the phone lines for those who are listening. If you have questions or comments, you want to talk to Algernon and myself, we'll be more than happy to chit-chat with you this morning at 336-680-9710. What would you say is the first key to success, Algernon?
Well, you know, I'll back up first of all just a little. Yeah, you're right. 2008 was extremely turbulent, and I think it left a lot of people feeling discouraged. You've got a lot of people that lost their houses, that have lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, their lives have been changed dramatically. And you know, one thing I would like to say as well is, I think you and I, we got to toot our own horn here for a second. I think you and I did a great job of covering the events of 2008. And actually, if you want to go back and listen to those cataloged shows of Community Focus, you can now go to algernoncash.com and you can listen to how we actually talked about all the events of last year. But as we roll into 2009, we've seen incredible change.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the political slogan
that
Mr. Obama used when he ran for office, but things are changing, and honestly, things are constantly changing. So, you know, Renee, one of the things that I really believe in, if you're going to unlock success for yourself, you have to be able to embrace change.
Right.
And how often are we resistant to change? You know, things are changing and we don't want to change with the times.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if you resist change, you can definitely get swept away by it. So,
that's true.
You know, I say you need to embrace it, try to adjust with it. And a lot of times, you know, benefits do come from change.
Yeah. Sometimes it's when we say initially, Algernon, that we're from the old school, a lot of us really literally are that.
Yeah.
We're from the old school. And sometimes, just like you said, it's kind of hard to transition into doing something different because it's uncharted territory. It's something that we may or may not be accustomed to doing. It is uncomfortable.
That's right.
But at the same time, I think you're absolutely right. Change is consistent, and it's really just a part of everyday life.
And all of us went through major changes in 2008.
We really did.
Like I said, some people lost their house. Some people lost their jobs. I mean, we've got a new president coming in. This is a historic moment. All of us have seen some major changes, but how do we respond to those changes?
Exactly.
That's the real key. How do you actually respond to those changes? And I think sometimes, like I said, people really want to resist it. So.
Right. And I think we also get to that point, Algernon, that we get to what we call that experience where either we take a risk and we venture outside of our comfort zones.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part to let go, is something that we're so comfortable.
Wow.
We can do it either with our eyes closed. We can do it in our sleep. We just say it verbatim. And really, sometimes it doesn't leave too much room to try something new
and to
venture away from something that's a little bit different to what we're initially accustomed to.
Well, you know, Renee, I tell you, growth is just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Now, I heard this old saying that my grandfather used to say every now and then. He said, either you're growing or you're dying, mm-hmm. But you are doing one or the other.
Right.
But you're either growing or you're dying. But growth is very uncomfortable. You typically don't grow until you get outside your comfort zone.
Right.
So a lot of times what I do, you know, I coach people on how to manage money and all these kind of things. I really try to encourage people, be willing to step outside your comfort zone. Be willing to do some things that you just wouldn't normally do. And you'll be surprised the benefits that you'll get from it. I mean, you know, you can look back into 2007 when Busta and I first met.
Right.
We met at an event that I was actually a little reluctant to go speak at.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and spoke at that event, and you can sort of look at what's came from that meeting with Busta. So
exactly. And the fact that really, if you think about it, the two of you came from totally different worlds, and it's amazing how the two of
different generations.
Exactly.
I mean,
and you have meshed so well together, and it just amazes me that when I listen to you guys, especially on Cash Money Tuesdays, it really amazes me how much the two of you now you have so much in common, as opposed to when you first met and you had nothing in common, basically.
But it's you know, embrace change. That's what I would tell people.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest fears, too, Algernon, is that when we talk about that change, I think a lot of us sometimes are so afraid that change is going to be so massive and so enormous, where sometimes, you know, change, all it really is just taking those little baby steps, just
that's
doing it one day at a time.
That's all it is. And, you know, we want to control it.
Yeah.
You know? We see change coming, and we want to control that thing.
Yeah.
And you just can't control it. I mean, change is a part of – that's just a natural part of this world. I mean, everything changes. Everything changes over time, and you just can't control those things. So don't – just let it happen. Don't try to control change. Mm-hmm. Just control your responses.
And I think the key word, too, that you mentioned was to embrace it.
That's right. That's right.
Just to learn to accept it, and you might find that change is probably the best thing that could have happened to you.
That's right.
336-660-9710. Algernon, let's go to the phones. Good Saturday morning, and welcome to Community Focus. Thanks for your call. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Doing good, sir.
I'm listening to your program, and I just want to make a comment.
Sure. Go right ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I live in Winston-Salem, and just in the past month, both my neighbors, one across the street mm-hmm. and one next to me, had to move out of their houses because they couldn't afford their mortgages anymore.
Yeah.
One guy had an adjustable rate mortgage. He's a retired soldier, and he just couldn't pay the mortgage. Now, he's the only person in his household that was bringing in any money, I believe.
Okay.
He got another house. I mean, he got another place to live. He's not homeless. But the fact that he had to give up a fairly nice house because the rest of his family members weren't working, and he was retired, that says something, I think, about us. And secondly, a man lost his manufacturing job that lived next to me, and his family had to move out.
Right.
They couldn't pay the mortgage. So I listened to the part about change. You know, when we go through school, no one talks to us about financial management and the risk of home ownership and all those things. I don't remember getting any courses like that in high school or even in college.
And, you know, I have to agree with him.
He's
because
right.
He's absolutely right.
I didn't
have anything.
It's one of the biggest things I keep harping on. And I'm with you. I'm with the caller because we're not educating people on how to make good, sound financial decisions. But you know what? This kind of change that's happened in his neighbor's life, although it's been abrupt and it all seems negative, a lot of times you can sort of get caught and say, man, I mean, why is this happening to me? But, you know, you got to be able to say, okay, there is a reason why this is happening. There is some reason, rhyme or reason behind it. You really got to search that out, and you got to try to benefit from it. And I know it's hard when it happens, you know, at first, but you really got to look deep into that thing.
Sir, let me ask you this question, because I think between the three of us, we all were in that situation where we didn't learn certain things about finances until we got a little bit older. When was that first learning experience for you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I guess back in the mid-'80s when I only earned $9,000 in 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. I learned then. I said, first of all, I got to get more education.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a college degree, and I still 1 year in the 80s only earned $9,000.
Wow.
So that's the first thing.
Right.
I learned, okay, the more education you have, the more money you make in the society. That's the first thing I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I learned is get control of your credit cards.
Yes, right. That's right. In fact, don't just get control of them, just get rid of them.
You can't do anything, but you can't overdo it.
Right.
And after I learned those two lessons, then I think I was okay.
And I think he makes a good point, because I think that is one of the things that, unfortunately, we learned in the hard way at the end of 2008, was that we are a country of excess.
We are, yeah.
It's like everything, and not just supersized from the standpoint of getting something at a restaurant or, you know, meal portions. I mean, everything, economically, financially, everything was just supersized.
And we were just so used
to having so much.
And not only that, we are a country that wants instant gratification. And my God, that is very hard to deal with. I mean, and that's how you sort of work yourself into the kind of housing crisis we have, when people say, okay, well, I'll take a 100% loan to value on a house because I just won't wait and actually save up a little money to buy that house. I mean, we want instant gratification in this country.
Kind of makes me think of that old expression, sometimes we bite off a little more than we can chew.
Sometimes we do.
Yeah, we do.
We got to be careful of that.
Yeah.
And I think we're feeling the pain of some of that right now, some of that excess. I think we're working through it, and I'm optimistic that we're going to work through it this year, and things are going to get better.
And that's the great thing
things
about
gonna get better.
Entering a new year.
That's
it,
right.
It can be a fresh start for a lot of people. Sir, let me ask you one more question before we let you go. From what you have learned, have you been able to take that information and teach it to others, whether it's within your family, your coworkers, friends, things of that nature?
You know, within my family, I earn less than anyone else in my family, my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I kind of take cues from them, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Secondly, when I said we really didn't learn anything about financial management, I do remember one high school class, and I don't know what it was. They said that the average American in his lifetime is going to earn and spend about $500,000 in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's even more than that. I mean, honestly, the average American will probably earn about $2 million in their lifetime. But, you know, the average retired person right now that's 65 can't even write a check for $100.
Right. That's
so,
true.
You know, when you look back over that and you say, where did all that money go?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unfortunately, it's bad financial management.
Right.
And a lot of times we don't necessarily have the tools or have the necessary knowledge to be able to make those decisions.
And you know what's even sadder, Algernon, is that, and it really kind of breaks my heart too, that sometimes when I go to some of these places, let's take fast food restaurants, for instance, and you step up to the counter and you have an individual asking you, may I take your order? And it's not until you look up and you see it's an older person. That's somebody's grandparent.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
Or you go in the Walmart sometimes.
Exactly.
And it's tough to see sometimes. It is. I mean,
an older person who should be enjoying the latter years of their life.
That's right.
Or having to come out of retirement and actually get back into the workforce. And a lot of times it's even hard to re-enter as an older adult as it is for someone who's fresh out of school.
That's a bad thing, though.
Yeah.
I think it keeps them engaged and it keeps away some of those diseases of the elderly, like Alzheimer's.
That's true, too. Yeah,
I think keeping them active and wanting to be active is definitely not a bad thing. I mean, my grandfather, he's active all the time,
right?
But he's not working. You know what I mean? He's active, but he's not working.
But I think it is. I think we're both right from that perspective that it does keep one's mind very active. But it's also at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, this person should be able to enjoy their latter years at the same time.
Unless it's
a person that doesn't mind doing that. If it's something
they
enjoy, then so be it.
But not because they're under some kind of financial or mental distress.
Exactly.
And, you know, to go out and earn money. That's a big difference.
Well, caller, listen, we appreciate you. You sound like this is your first time calling into the program. I'm kind of familiar with voices.
Well, actually, I called in last year.
Mm-hmm.
right near the end of the primaries and talked about Barack Obama.
Okay. Now that you mention it, now that I am listening to you, you're absolutely right. Well, so this is an anniversary as well. I don't know if you mentioned or heard, rather, Algernon mentioned as we got the program underway that this was our first year anniversary
That's
for the
right.
two of us coming together on this show.
And the thing is, you know, you're right. A lot of people aren't trying to provide those financial tools. But right here on Community Focus, mm-hmm. we're doing it every month. We're trying to make sure we get the information, the awareness out so that people can make those good decisions. We're putting a lot of stuff out on the web. I always ask people if you want to ask me questions off air. I mean, you know, it's not just a Saturday morning thing.
That's right.
I mean, you can get to me probably just about any day, and you can email me at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net. You can always check me out on the web. You can just Google Algernon Cash, and plenty of things will come up for you to take a look at. I mean, we're putting the information out there. We're doing it constantly.
And caller, let me commend you, both from myself and Algernon, for calling into the program, obviously offering and giving some excellent input. We always appreciate your feedback. I just want you to do one more thing. Take what we've discussed this morning and share it with everybody that you know. Keep this conversation going.
Pay it forward.
Absolutely.
Pay it forward.
Keep learning, keep growing, and keep sharing it with as many people as you possibly can.
Okay.
All right.
Y'all have a good day.
You do the same. Appreciate
you for listening.
Thank you. 336-680-9710. Let's take another call, Algernon. Good Saturday morning. Thank you for calling into Community Focus. How are you?
Wow, how are you this morning? Happy anniversary.
Good morning.
Thank you very much.
I think I recognize this voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me be confident. Let me be very confident. Listen, congratulations to Algernon and 97.1 for always informing us of information we need to know and we can use every day.
Thank you.
And I really hope that we can start from high school, cash, model, clubs, to begin educating our kids, even before high school, about the need to have financial literacy. And I think Algernon is an excellent model to use in that respect. And maybe he might even consider, you know, getting with me sometime. We can talk about how we can actually structure something like that for these kids, because applied economics is not working well with junior achievement.
Right.
Well, Fleming, you know, I'm always willing to go to bat with you. And I completely agree with you. I think we need to be looking at financial literacy at the primary level, at the K-12 level, at just various points. And once again, when they go into college, you need to be taking a financial literacy course. When you come out of college, you need to be taking another financial literacy course. Over time, we need to make certain that people are equipped with the necessary skills so that they can make decisions on their own.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, we're going to keep putting out as much information as
we can.
We're going to keep trying to educate you as much as we can. Because, you know, one of the things, Renee, and I hate to say this, but I honestly believe that, you know, for a lot of people, they feel it's an advantage for average people not to know how to make these decisions. Because clearly, if you don't know how to make sound financial decisions, you're going to keep running up credit card bills, you're going to keep getting in debt, and you're going to keep doing the things that are obviously putting money in other people's pockets, but are taking money out of your pockets.
Exactly.
But we're here to stop that. We're gonna make a stop at that. And yes, Fleming, I would be more than happy to work with you in any capacity to do so.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to leave with just a thought that I have in my classroom. It's called Knowledge is My Friend, Ignorance is My Enemy. And we have allowed too many of our people, especially our senior citizens, to come through in a situation where they just didn't know, you know. So it's on us. The onus is on us to sort of protect them and their life when they need us the most and make sure the next generation doesn't have to suffer the same way with a lack of knowledge.
Absolutely.
Again, happy anniversary to both
Thank
of you.
You
keep
so
on doing
much.
What you're doing.
Thank
Always
you, Fleming.
Always communicate with the mind, body, and soul.
Appreciate you, dear.
I will be in touch.
All right,
okay,
dear.
Then.
Take
right.
care, Fleming.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know what? I think we actually need to get Fleming on the other side
yeah.
of this show because he's a regular caller and contributor to Community Focus.
Well, you were here last year. I forgot about that. Joseph Lovell was here. And
okay.
Fleming did come into
he
the
did
studio.
Come, okay.
He did. Him
okay.
and him and Ray Trapp came in.
Wow.
And, actually, that show is online. You
it's
can get,
on, okay,
you can get
great,
it on the website.
Great.
But yeah, he did come into the show last
okay.
year, but you were out.
Wow.
That was the one Saturday I was not here.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate
but
I
we'll,
missed it.
But we will get Fleming in
back,
sometime
yeah.
this
okay.
year, definitely.
Well, Fleming,
we'll
definitely
that.
Looking forward to it, my dear. For those of you who are just tuning in, we certainly want to welcome you to Saturday's edition of Community Focus. We're going to take our first break right quick, Algernon, but then when we come back, definitely want to take as many calls as we can at 336-680-9710. We are discussing this morning the keys to unlocking success in 2009. In fact, the key principles to mastering money and creating wealth, unlocking the door to financial freedom. We've already gotten through key one, which is embrace change, Algernon,
right.
and accept 100% responsibility.
That's right. That's right.
And that is where we're going to leave it. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the other key changes and definitely get some more feedback and input from our great listening audience. Oh, I love my QMG family. Thank you, Algernon, as we're going to take a break and do indeed come back. Community Focus continues here on the Best R&B and Old School. We are 97.1 QMG. The best R&B in old school and close to our communities, 97.1 QMG. We're back officially from break. Thanks again for listening for Saturday's edition of the program. Renee Vaughn along with Algernon Cash. We're talking about the keys to unlocking success in 2009. Algernon, as we're back from commercial break, wanted to touch on key number two, which is to change your response.
Oh, that's a big one.
That is a big
one. That's a big one.
Because
change your response.
In 2008, we as a people, we lost accumulated wealth. Again, as you touched on earlier, we lost our homes, we lost our jobs. And then comes the game, the blame game, basically, where we want to make excuses, quitting intensified. And definitely, I think we got to that point where sometimes we kind of want to search for that someone or something to place that blame upon.
Who caused all this? Who moved my cheese?
Exactly.
As I often like to say, who moved my cheese?
Right.
And it's often the problem is often not out there as much as it's inside.
Right.
And we often just don't want to look for it. You know, I've got a little formula, and if you're by your radio, please go get your pencil and your paper. Get real close and tight.
We're about to have class.
Get real close and tight to the speaker right now, okay? Because I'm getting ready to give you the secret to life right here. I've got a formula that you can use, and it's E plus R equals O, and that means event plus response equals outcome. And I'll break that down for you a little bit clearer. Let's say that you get a $400 raise at your job, so that's the event, okay? The response to that is you decide to go out and have a night on the town and buy new clothes and go drinking.
Right.
The outcome is that you're broke. So it's not that the job isn't paying you enough that caused you to be broke. It's actually your responses to certain events that are leading to those actual outcomes. And it's so hard for people to say that. I mean, or I give you another one. I mean, you work at a company, and because that company decides to move their labor overseas, that's the event. Your response to that is you just decide to blame the company and you want to keep blaming the company.
Right.
The outcome is you're going to continue to be unemployed. Your response to that event has to be, I'm going to make sure I change my skills or improve my skills.
Exactly.
I'm going to go out here and I'm going to find me something else to do so that you can create a better outcome. It's so simple, Renee, that we miss it sometimes. If you want to change your circumstances or if you want to change your outcomes, the only thing you have to do right now at this very point in time is just start changing your responses.
Right.
That's all you have to do.
And I think it ties back into the first key that we were just talking about. That's where that embracing the change part comes in.
That's right. And they work together.
They really do.
Because what we want to do sometimes is control change. Mm-hmm. That's what, you see what I mean? We want to control change. But if we just control our responses, see, change is a part of nature. Change is going to happen, and it's nothing we can do about it. Every 4 years, you're going to get a new president. Right. Every 6 years, you're going to get a new senator. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, you're going to get a new CEO. Every now and then, you're going to get a new manager.
Exactly.
I mean, these things are going to continue to happen, and they're going to happen, and they're going to happen. But what you got to learn to do is gain some control over how you respond to these events, and that's how you're going to get better outcomes.
Very well said. 336-680-9710.
I might preach my first sermon this morning.
Say, getting close. Let's go back to the phones, Algernon. Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Community Focus, and thanks for your call. How are you?
I'm good. It's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. Happy New Year,
Happy
darling.
New Year, Michelle. How are
Happy
you?
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
I was listening to you talk about people in college and not being able to get their money straight. And I was one of those people that my parents didn't teach me how to not go out and get 20 credit cards and run them all up.
Right.
That's right.
But as time went on, I learned that credit is something that you value. Mm-hmm. And you only need to use it when you need to use it. If you don't need to use it, use cash.
I recommend you use cash all the time.
Well, see, I didn't know that.
Michelle,
I come from a family where we had little.
Right.
And see, when you go away and you can all of a sudden get all of this stuff, they just bombard you as a student with 20 different credit cards, and they give you these crazy amounts that you can use. I had a gas card, didn't have a car.
Wow.
But
I'm sure you're not the only one. Yeah.
No, it happens. It really
does.
But you know, it sometimes, and sometimes I see this happen. And I'm you know, I come from the same situation. I mean, I didn't come from a family that was very wealthy. Didn't come from a family that knew a lot about managing money. So they didn't teach me a lot about managing money or teach me the right kind of ways to manage money. They taught me what they felt like they needed to teach me.
But
you know, this happens all the time. I mean, I think a lot of times parents are teaching their kids whatever they know at the time. And I don't think they mean any harm or intended ill will. It's just they're giving you the information that they have that's best available at the time.
Right.
But I think what happens is later on in life, some people, and I've talked, we hear these people on Cash Money Tuesday all the time. They'll call in and say, well, if my mom or if my dad would have did this, I would be able to do that. Nope. Don't worry about that. Don't blame them. Don't make excuses. Don't worry about that. They taught you the best they could at that time. Now you've got to take responsibility.
Exactly.
And you've got to change your responses. And you got to go out there and make sure that you empower yourself so that you can manage your money.
Yeah. And indeed, like I told the first gentleman, take what you have learned from our conversation this morning and teach others around you.
That's right.
Well, I've taken with all of the things I've taught over the last 6-7 months.
And I know you passed them on to your daughter.
Yeah, and because I have to live on a fixed income, I really had to learn that, Michelle, you can't go buy 10 pairs of shoes this month.
Right.
And I have really done well with it because learning how to work with a fixed income and then learning how to work with a fixed income with a small business is really challenging.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But she changed her responses.
Exactly.
And she's getting better outcomes.
There you go.
Already.
You know, and things, you know, sometimes you just have to, if you want that $500 sewing machine and you know you can get it, just wait.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe you wait and someone will come in and give you a job
that
will make an extra $500 in your budget.
That's right.
And you don't have to go out and put it on layaway or on financing it, and it costs you $1,000 for that sewing machine. And I had to learn that. That was the hardest thing for me to learn, that you can't go buy it just because a man says you can have it.
That's right.
That's right.
And Algernon, I want to sing Michelle's praises because getting back to this particular sewing machine, one thing I always say about my girl is that she knows how to ask the right people for certain things if she needs help with something.
Sure.
And so when she came to me and I'm like, well, sweetheart, let's approach it from this way. And I gave her the right group of people to get in contact with. And then when she told me they called her back and she was able to get the sewing machine that she needed, I was like, that's how you do it.
That's
again,
right.
she took that equation where she took the E plus the R, which equals the O.
That's
And the outcome was she got that sewing machine and she'd been making them quilts ever since.
I told you, it works. It really works.
That particular year, Algernon, I was just starting, and I didn't know how to do things, but God was good, and he blessed me with almost $8,000 worth of sewing machines that I did not have to pay for.
There you go. There you go. I mean, it
you
worked.
Just got to know how to talk. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right. She took advantage of the event.
And you know what? I mean, and we're going to get to this a little later in the program, but she's really taking initiative. She's putting herself out there. She's putting herself out there to make sure she can achieve the kind of outcomes that she wants.
Exactly.
And she's committing to them. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of times we just don't want to commit to anything. Mm-hmm. We just want to be interested in something.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't just be interested in something.
Yeah.
You're not going to be successful
in
being interested.
And now that you've mentioned that, Algernon, do you think that may be part of the reason why a lot of our New Year's resolutions fail? When we say we're going to quit smoking.
We're interested in quitting smoking.
We're going to lose weight. We're going to do this.
We're interested in losing weight.
Yeah.
We're interested in changing our eating habits. Yeah. We are interested in exercising. Yeah. We're not committing to those things. We're not committing to them.
And again, that's where we learn to embrace that change and to change our responses.
That's right.
So they're interchangeable. You know, we really need to start this with children that are like 7 and 8 because when they're 7 and 8, they're just beginning to learn that, well, you know, I got $2, and if I take this $2 and do this with it, then my mom can give me some more. No. I gave you $2 this morning for whatever, or it's your allowance, or whatever. You hold on to that $2. If it's not nothing, I'm going to make sure you have the basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter. Mm-hmm. That $2 is an extra thing for saying, look, I thank you for taking the trash out this week, but you really need to save that $2 because mama might not have $2 next week.
That's right. So we need to start early, and I agree with you, Michelle. But, you know, Michelle, I really thank you for just listening to us and supporting
us.
Because we obviously, I talk a lot and I got a lot to say, but it wouldn't make no difference if no one was out there taking the time to listen.
And I listen because I've never met you, but you make the best points about saving money and not using credit. And getting a better FICO score. And see, that's what I'm up against now because of the me being the foolish person about 10 years ago. I'm paying for all the foolish mistakes that I made.
But at least you're acknowledging it.
Right, and you're taking responsibility for it.
And you're taking control. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, Michelle, I know you're going to be successful in 09, and I know you're going to keep listening to us. And, you know, every now and then, if you get a chance, send me an email at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net if you ever got any questions.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I got time.
Okay. Take
all
care.
All right, Michelle. Take care, sweetheart. We'll be in touch.
Bye.
Thank you, dear. Bye. And I know that when you can get through, because when you and Buster are on the air, I know a lot of times it can be hard sometimes
when you are on
Cash Money Tuesdays. But just the fact that for our listeners this morning, Algernon, there are just so many outlets outside of this program, being able to listen to it on a podcast, being able to listen to it on the website, being able to call you or email you.
That's right.
That's another thing, is expand your options. Expand on your opportunities. Just don't count on one solution to take care of a particular problem.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not just interested in helping people.
Yeah. I'm not
interested.
You are committed.
I'm committed. When I say I'm changing lives in 09, I'm committed to it. Like I said, you can send me an email, cashmoney97@bellsouth.net. You can go online. You can Google Algernon Cash. There's plenty of free information on the website. We put it out there.
Yeah.
We've got videos of you and I when we've done community focus before. We've got the podcast up. Right. We've got the podcast on iTunes. So if you got iTunes and you want to download it to your player, you can do that. So we're blogging. We're doing all that.
So we're putting everything out there.
Because we're committed. We're committed to changing lives, and we're not just interested in it.
That's right. And giving people so many options, Algernon, I think that's what's really going to help a lot of folk.
That's right.
Indeed, in making 2009 the best year as possible. That's not to say that we're not going to run into those roadblocks from time to time.
You're always going to have roadblocks. And honestly, a lot of the roadblocks you're going to have is your own considerations. Your own mental roadblocks are typically the ones that are going to stop you.
Exactly.
It's normally not any kind of physical roadblocks or any outside roadblocks. It's normally you stopping yourself. And when we get into the last key, I'm going to talk about how you can power through that too.
Let me get back to the first key where you said embracing change. And I wanted to mention this because I thought Michelle made a good point in terms of, and I don't know if you've picked up on this or if Michelle has, but lately if I'm out somewhere and I'm getting ready to make a purchase, and before I wasn't originally conscious of the person in front of me and how they were paying for a particular product, but now I'm starting to see at the different places that I go to, more and more people, I do believe, are transitioning out of that, using that credit card.
Thank God.
Giving that plastic, and I'm seeing a lot more people paying with cash.
I'm telling you, you're going to have to get me a bodyguard, because Visa and MBNA and American Express, they got my address, they got my phone number, they looking for me, they want me to be quiet, but I'm not going to stop it. I ain't going to stop it until everybody put those credit cards down and stop killing yourself.
Yeah.
That's it. I ain't going to stop. You're right, though, but a lot of people are finally waking up to the fact that you don't go buy a pack of gum on a credit card. You just don't do
that. And I'll fess up. I've done that before.
All of us, I think, at some point. You don't do it. But
We're going to change it. All right, Algernon, on that note, let's take another quick break. And we still have plenty of time to hear from you fine folk listening to us this morning. Again, for those of you who have already called, we always appreciate you. Even if you're just listening and taking in this information, and you are, as I say, this will be my challenge, I think, our challenge, Algernon, to everyone, to take everything that they hear on this program and to spread the good news. As you said, pay it forward.
That's all I want people
that's
to
the
do.
Best and thing
that,
they
and
can
I'm,
do.
I'm putting it out there so that people can pay it forward. And because if someone wouldn't have paid it forward to me,
I wouldn't even know the
information I have
today.
Right. So
absolutely. Great ending point as we take another break, and then we're going to continue with much more of Community Focus here on the Best R&B and Old School. And close to our communities, we are 97.1 QMG. We are back, 97.1 QMG, the Best R&B and Old School, and close to our communities, returning in the final segments of Saturday's edition of Community Focus for this 10th day of January, 2009. Algernon, I got to get used to saying the new year.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another thing when you're writing something and you got to put a year or attach it at the end.
Yeah.
I know a lot of us are still trying to put that 08 at the end.
Not me.
No.
2008 was so bad, I was just ready to get out of it.
Algernon, a lot of people, I'm pretty sure, share that same sentiment. They're just so glad that year is just over and that we can pretty much start over.
Yeah, I was ready. I couldn't wait to write 09.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I couldn't wait it. So I'm not having any problem making. I'm embracing the change.
You're off to a good start, my friend. And again, for those of you just tuning in, we want to welcome you to today's edition of Community Focus. I'm Renee Vaughn. Algernon Cash of Warden Gladden and Company LLC joins me this morning. We have been talking about the keys to unlocking success in 2009. The first key was to embrace change. We just wrapped up key number two, change your response. Now, Algernon, we're back to embrace the third key to success, which is to take control.
Yeah, and, you know, Michelle, actually, with her phone call, she actually hit on this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we don't want to exercise control in the actual areas mm-hmm. that we have control, okay? Yeah. So we want to control outside factors. We want to control change. We want to control other people. We want to control our companies. We want to control our churches and the government. We want to control everything outside of us. But in reality, we only have control over three things, and that's the images or thoughts that you keep in your mind. You can control your own thoughts. You can control your own actions, and you can control your own behavior. That's it. Yeah. You don't have any other control outside of those three things. So a lot of times I tell people that when you see change occurring or when you see events that are happening in your life, you have to really put your energy in those three areas that you really can control right. and stop wasting energy mm-hmm. on all these other things. Well, I wish it was this way and it should have went that way and it could have went that way. Well, but it didn't. So exercise control in those three areas.
Especially, you know, exercising that which, like you said, if let go of those outside things that you can't control.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And it's taking responsibility. I mean, it's really saying, okay, I actually do have control over the events in my life. I think a lot of times people are actually being controlled or they feel they're being controlled by the events of their life, whereas you should say, okay, I actually do have the ability to control these things. Right. And that a lot of times that when things happen in your life, you take Michelle once again. She said, okay, I made bad mistakes or bad decisions that resulted in me getting myself into the kind of credit card problems right. that she was in. She didn't say, well, you know, my company didn't pay me enough, so I couldn't pay the bills. Well, the church wasn't willing to give me the money, so I couldn't pay the bills. Well, the government won't send me enough money, so I couldn't pay the bills. She's not pointing fingers at any kind of outside factors. She's saying, you know what, I made bad decisions. So she's automatically acknowledging that she has control. I made bad decisions, and now I have to work myself out of this. The other tricky thing about that is if you don't acknowledge that you worked yourself into the problem,
right?
If you can't acknowledge that you created the problem, how can you create a solution? Your mind won't even allow you to. So you have to first acknowledge, okay, I caused this. It is my problem. It's my responsibility. Then you can be able to create the solution and the outcome you want.
So two things, Algernon, basically get past the denial, get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just shoulder the responsibility. And there's really no shame in that.
It really isn't. And in fact, I think it takes a very courageous individual to be able to do it. And I think it takes a person with a mark of good character to just be able to say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility.
Exactly.
And I'm going to create another solution yeah. for myself.
And fess up to it, because, I mean, after all, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes.
That's right. We you know, in fact, you know, I study a lot of Abraham Lincoln, and there was an excerpt that I read where he was talking to his wife, and his wife was sort of talking about how savage the people were in the South, and this was like right around the time of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, they're not. He said they're only doing what we would do if we were in the same situation at the same time with the same circumstances.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't want to be judgmental. You don't want to always point the finger and blame all these outside factors. I mean, just look internally. I mean, yeah. Look internally.
I think with today's show, Algernon, in a sense, getting back to President Barack Obama, I think a lot of what we have talked about, at least from what I've been watching in the news and hearing and even talking about here weekdays on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, is the fact that the moment that he won the presidential nomination, now that he's about to be inaugurated in 10 days, in between that time period, he has taken some responsibility from things. I think he came right out of the box.
Mm-hmm. He has.
You know, when we went into a recession, just got the dismal news yesterday about the number of people who are unemployed.
That's right.
Losses at one of its highest unemployment rate, 7.2%.
That's right.
Probably higher in some places.
I think we've lost about 2.6 million jobs. In the last year since the recession started in
right.
December.
Yeah. Right. But taking that responsibility, and I think this was one thing that I noticed about him, was he immediately got his cabinet together.
He did. And he assembled a team. I think he sent he tried to send clear communication to the American people that he was going to have a good team of advisors around him. But you know, even just his, you know, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on, just his election and his ability to gain that particular office is, I mean, that's what you get when you take control. I mean, you know, he wasn't really necessarily trying to point fingers or blame anyone else when things weren't going right on his campaign. He adjusted. He embraced change himself.
Exactly.
He changed his responses.
Right.
He took control. And look at the outcomes that he's been able to achieve for himself.
Right. And all of the things that he it's almost as if the 20th can't get here quick enough, because there's so many things obviously on his plate.
It is.
So much that he has in store to do, and so many things that he wants to do to really kind of rectify some of the messy situations that we find ourselves in. I think the first, well, not maybe not necessarily the first, but one of the top agendas, shall we say, is the economic stimulus plan.
That's right.
That he wants to put into effect.
And I think he's proposed about between $700 and $800 billion in spending. I anticipate that we'll have another $200 billion in add-ons from our congressional members with their pet projects, and we'll top out somewhere around $1 trillion. The projected deficit, you know, unfortunately, the projected deficit for next year will be around $1.2 trillion. So we're, you know, there is going to be a lot of government spending. I am one of those that agree that this type of government intervention, I do think it's necessary right now to get our economy going back in the right direction.
Right.
But it is something where we're going to have to answer for our actions at some later point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're working up a large deficit or a large national debt right now. And quite frankly, we're going to have to pay this thing off some kind of way. So we need to be very mindful of it. We've already put we're putting trillions and trillions of dollars of money into the system. At some point, that creates inflation.
Right.
So you're going to have to worry about that. So once again, it's your responses to your events that are going to create your outcome. So that's what we're doing right now.
I think, if anything, Algernon, as 2008 came to a close, and here again, as I mentioned, we're into just 10 days fresh of the new year, we have really learned, I think, to make some adjustments. Some may have been forced upon. Others, I think it was just a matter of time before that change was to occur.
That's right.
Again, getting back to the situation of seeing more people spend cash as opposed to using the plastic with the credit cards and things of that nature. I think another issue that we can add to that is in terms of, let's say, cars and automobiles, for example, where every 2 or 3 years we were all about leasing that vehicle so we can be in something new.
Things are changing.
That's right. They're changing in terms of, I think people are now realizing, well, I better hold on to this car a little while longer, maybe another 5-10 years or so.
When you know, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but people typically will not change. You will not normally change until
you're put in that bad situation.
So you put in a bad situation, and until the pain of your current situation outweighs the pain of change. Because there's pain either way. You probably have pain in your current situation. You know there's going to be pain with making the changes.
Right.
But until that actual pain in your current situation is greater than the change, that's when you actually change. But, I mean, I am happy to see that people are changing their behaviors. I hate to see that we had to get into the kind of
situation that we were in.
That we had to get in. I hate to see we had to see these kind of things occur and happen to make these kind of changes occur. But people are finally saying, you know what, I don't want to use credit cards. I need to use cash. Mm-hmm. People are finally realizing that they need to save some money up.
Right.
They've got to have access to some cash in case some things
happen.
Exactly.
And another thing, you know, not eating out as much.
Not eating out as much.
As some used to do.
I'm hearing that a lot of people are actually going back and getting retrained and making sure they can pick up additional technical skills so that they can find new jobs.
Yeah.
Those are things you need to be doing all the time. You got to be constantly training or retraining yourself and making sure you have the skills to be able to compete in the future.
Here's an interesting change, and it's funny we're having this conversation because I was just talking with a coworker about this yesterday. This has changed from the standpoint of, as Michelle alluded to, in terms of the change with our eating habits. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we are a very obese society. And it's not just the adults. It's stretching all the way down to our kids.
Yeah, it is.
And he said for his household, he's actually in the process of changing the size of his dinner plates. And
wow.
I happened to be reading a magazine where they actually showed a comparison of pictures with different types of food.
Mm-hmm.
From the portion sizes of food in Europe compared to the portion sizes of food here in the United States.
That's right.
It started with a plate of French fries, kind of like the home cut style. It was a plate from, let's say, somebody who cooked it in England as opposed to a supersized container of fries from a fast food restaurant.
From America. Yeah.
Right. And then they had the number of calories between the two. And then it was a croissant,
let's say
from France. Then you see one which looks like a croissant on steroids here in the United States. And then a couple of other things. But getting back to what he was saying, he was actually in the process of changing the size of his plates to where they need to be smaller.
That's right.
To where he's eating smaller portions of food. And because he has a teenage son. And for any parent who's listening who have teenage kids, sometimes we know our children can eat us out of house and home.
That's right.
I know because I was that teenager. I did it to my folks.
But, you know, here in America, we have everything in abundance. I mean, most countries don't have an abundant supply of food like we do. We throw away more food than some countries are actually eating. We've got to change our behaviors. Eating things, you know, obviously eating smaller portion sizes, making sure you go out and have the skills necessary to do what you need to do.
Right.
We've got to learn how to alter our behavior.
We do.
So that we can just get better outcomes. And, you know, the other thing I'll mention, because I see our time starting to dwindle down, and I want to make certain that people understand that it's not just changing your behaviors and just changing your actions. That is a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to be very sensitive and mindful as to the thoughts and images you keep in your head. Are you thinking things are going to be positive? Are you thinking things are going to be optimistic?
Right.
A lot of times we just naturally have a negative or pessimistic thought process, and we wonder why we just continue to create these outcomes that are negative. Your mind is actually leading you in those directions. So, you know, you do have to change your actions. You do have to change your behaviors, but you also have to change those thoughts that you have in your head. You got to exercise control in those areas. And then the last thing I'll say is I really think that people ought to sit down and really have a good, solid discussion with themselves about what their values and what their principles are going to be. I mean, what is your purpose? Like, really, what are you trying to achieve? Because oftentimes, Renee, we go through our day and we're making decisions and we're making choices based on emotion. How we feel at the moment.
Yeah.
How do I, this makes
exactly.
me feel this way, or I feel that way. And I'm not saying emotions doesn't have its place. It does, but you can be misled by your emotions. You really need to understand what your purpose is, what are your values and your principles, and you make your decisions based off of that.
Very good point. I think that's an excellent way to bring the show to a close. As always, the hour seems to just go by.
It does.
So quickly. But just thank you for this. Especially for this particular topic, because just as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, and I want to reemphasize it as we bring today's show, Algernon, to a close, that we did need to hear some good news going into 2009.
I thought this
was an appropriate topic. I appreciate all who were able to call in. And again, those who were just listening and just kind of taking all this information in, and especially what you were saying about the emotional part.
That's right.
And making all of these components work together. From embracing the change to changing your response to taking control.
That's right. And I would just say to everybody that I'm definitely praying for everyone, and I'm wishing you success in 2009. If you went through some challenges and troubles in 2008 is gone. It's in the past.
Right. And
I know sometimes your current circumstances might seem a little overbearing. But I would really tell you to focus and just make sure you start changing your responses, and you're going to create some new outcomes for yourself. And I think 2009 is going to be a very positive year. I mean, we are a very resilient country.
Oh, absolutely.
We have been through two world wars. We've been through a Great Depression. We've been through several wars. We've been through several economic crises.
Some of those things.
We've been through a terrorist attack. We've been through a lot of different things. And this is just going to be one more milestone in history. And I promise you that we'll work through this just like we've worked through other problems.
Absolutely. And I think you've touched on another key word, and that is focus.
That's right.
If we stay focused and keep our eyes on the prize.
That's right.
As the
and
saying
stay,
goes.
Listen, make sure you listen to community focus.
There you go.
We're going to keep putting that information out there.
Absolutely.
One more time, guys, if you want to get in touch with me, cashmoney97@bellsouth.net. You can also go to the website at algernoncash.com. And I hope that you're listening as well on Cash Money Tuesday with Busta Brown. So.
That's right, which folk will have an opportunity to do this coming Tuesday as well. And, of course, the next time we're going to get you back here on Community Focus. So
I'll be here in about 4 weeks.
That's
I'll see
right.
you again.
Absolutely.
All right.
Algernon, again, thank you as always. And thanks to all of you. I think we have the – in fact, I know, Algernon, we have the best listeners.
We do.
to this program and really to this whole radio station.
We appreciate you getting up this early in the morning with us.
Absolutely. And that's why we don't mind getting up early so we can get this information to our QMG family. Thank you so much, folks. Stay positive. Stay focused. Embrace that change. Change your response and take control.
That's right.
Going into this weekend and going through all of 2009. Let's put it that way, Algernon. We do have a weekend for you coming up after the break. Of course, the old school weekend show that brings those memories right back at you. A.K.A. the Tom Joyner Morning Show at its best. And all weekend long, you get the best R&B and old school right here, 97.1 QMG. I'll talk to you next time on the radio, folks. Have a great weekend.